Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, I'm already in a Brewers Outlet mood today. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection anywhere, anytime. Want to stock up for the weekend? Oh, do so tonight. Tell them that we sent you. You're like, oh, how much of a discount do I get? We'll get back to you later on that. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report on today's show. Don't forget, you can also get your water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Mr. Jones. Thanks to Kevin Herr for coming out of the bullpen for me yesterday. We went into a Prince tribute mode on the other side of the glass yesterday over on 94KX. It was kind of a big news story from yesterday. I know you mentioned that a few times.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Prince was a big sports fan, huge sports fan.
Big basketball fan, yeah, played basketball in junior high. And
he did, although he's only was only 5'2". Loved the game. Season ticket holder with the T-Wolves, season ticket holder for the Minnesota Lynx. He also wrote the a Vikings purple and gold song for them. So it's... obviously, 57, many people loved his music, and obviously a very tough loss.
Yeah, part of my days growing up, for sure. Oh, my goodness, I'd play the Purple Rain album on my Technics turntable and would wear out the needle. Have my Koss Pro 4 AA headphones on. You can relate to that, being a radio guy, and so I wouldn't wake up Mom.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I think the news on him is not going to get better.
Yeah, the last I heard, autopsy was completed about an hour ago. Body returned to the family. Toxicology report may not be out for weeks, and results of the autopsy.
But that's typical. A toxicology report usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to get back. That's typical. That's not anybody hiding anything. That is the typical time it takes.
And autopsy results, several days.
Right. Yeah. And the problem is that I had mentioned yesterday he'd been to a pharmacy four times in the last couple weeks. Well, that's true, I guess.
Yeah, TMZ rolled with that story last night right before 10 o'clock. Someone took a picture of him walking back to his Escalade about 15 hours before he passed away. And a lot of people kind of give TMZ a bad rap, but they do their fact-checking, and you know, they were right on cue in 2009 when Michael Jackson died, so you hope it's not true. You hope it's not true.
Well, it's legal to go to Walgreens.
Well, sure.
So it's legal to get prescriptions from Walgreens, so we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, and we'll just give it the benefit of the doubt until it comes time. One thing that he was a champion of business-wise, something that has always been misunderstood about him. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, like, oh, I listen. Like, I never listened to anything he did. Okay, you know, I mean, I heard 1999 and, you know, whatever, you know, the biggest of big hits, but like, I don't own any Prince anything.
Yeah, there are quite a few people on my Facebook post yesterday. I wasn't the biggest Prince fan on the planet, but just with, you know, not many people in the world can go by one name and you know who that person is, and they still give that person big-time respect.
Well, remember the symbol the artist formerly known as Prince, and he caught a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, he was in he had a big to-do with Warner Brothers with contract,
yes.
and he wanted complete freedom and expression on all of his material, so he goes, okay, well, I'm going to keep recording, I'm going to do this, but I'm just not going to go by Prince anymore. That lasted about 7-8 years.
Warner Brothers, I think, even told him that, hey, look, the name Prince is, like, that's our name. They were even trying to have control of the name. And that's why he did what he did. Well, for people who don't realize, Prince is his first name. All right? So, that is his first name. This isn't one where he just sat down in the basement one day and said, I think I'll come up with a name. No, his parents gave him that name. Prince Rogers Nelson was his name. And they went for 7 years, round and round. He fought for artist rights over name, material, creativity, that the studio would not own everything that they did, that, your own creativity is your own.
That's why he sketched the word slave on his face every time he performed, because he just felt he was tethered down by the record label.
Yeah. So, there you go. I've told you everything I know.
There you go. Yeah, tough day for everyone that loves music, and especially Prince. Yeah, it was a very tough day yesterday. Okay. So, yeah.
No, shocking day.
Huge.
I mean, at the age of 57, you don't expect that.
Well, with all the big stars that have lost their lives so far this year, David Bowie, Glenn Frey, George Martin. I mean, he was the guy. I mean, you can't have the Beatles without George Martin. And now Prince. Yeah, it's been a tough year so far.
Yeah. Okay, we have a lot to do today, including Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, being on the show today. I had an interesting, after our show yesterday, I was scheduled to be on a talk show in Denver. And I have now changed my mind about which player I think will be the first Penn State player off the board. I think for a long time I thought, and I think most people thought, it was going to be Austin Johnson. And Austin Johnson's still going to be a second-round pick. I think Christian Hackenberg is going to be the first Penn State player off the board next week. I think he is the first Penn State player off the board next week. And I was on a show in Denver. As soon as our show was over, I did the show in Denver. And I found their questions to be intriguing. Over the years, I've been able to gauge which shows I'm on and who's interested in whom. How about that? Hey, we'd like to have you on to talk about. And mysteriously, they end up getting picked by that group. Well, the Broncos need a quarterback. They have Mark Sanchez. They might be interested in Brian Hoyer. They pick 31. Now, there are two other organizations I know that are very hot on the Christian Hackenberg trail. And just the mere thought that somebody at 31 might consider him might change what they do in the first round. So we are going to see how this plays out. I have felt very strongly that Christian was the number three quarterback on the board. You got to put him behind Goff, and you got to put him behind Carson Wentz. You have to. They'll be the first two off the board. Paxton Lynch, I think, is a good college quarterback in the system he was in, but that's all I thought about him. I've always thought that Christian Hackenberg was better than Connor Cook. Always have. There's nothing that Connor Cook has done that has made me think he's a better quarterback than Christian.
But you don't think Connor Cook is a system quarterback. It was just great players that have surrounded him on the field.
I think he's had a great offensive line and great wide receivers that's really allowed him to max out his potential as they've gone through. I think the talent around him allowed Connor Cook to max out the potential he has. He had time to throw because of the offensive line. He had really good receivers that made big-time catches. that made everything about him look good. That's not putting down. I think Connor Cook's going to be a first or a second round pick. He'll be one of the two. Dak Prescott, Mississippi State, is a program that is sliding through the wilderness for the most part until he got there. But again, I look at him more as being a college-style quarterback than a pro quarterback. And then there's Christian. I think Christian's the one that actually translates to the NFL better than those three right there, although I think Cook would be the closest to it. There was a fan last year that was at the Penn State tailgate show, that Dietz and Watson tailgate show that we do outside the Jordan Ticket Center. And this was probably late October, one of those games. And he said, here are my top four quarterbacks for the NFL out of the Big Ten. I want to see how the two of you feel. And he listed JT Barrett, number one, Braxton Miller, number two, Connor Cook, three, and Christian Hackenberg, four. Jack's the one that took the question. Jack Ham was the one that took the question. He said, sir, I respectfully disagree with all four of your choices. And I'm sitting there thinking, so do I. Okay, this is not how it works. And Jack felt Christian was one, Cook was two, Barrett was three, and Braxton Miller was four, which is the exact same order I would have had. The bottom line is this. Let's go with Miller and Barrett first. It is not the responsibility of a college football coach to groom you to be a pro quarterback. That's not their responsibility. Their responsibility is win games with you as their quarterback in a style that wins you games. What's the best way to win games with the people we have? That's their job. Braxton Miller is, other than maybe on a trick play taking a snap, will never take a snap as a legitimate quarterback in the league. He's going into the NFL as an athlete. JT Barrett is very much in the same boat. JT Barrett is a better runner, not normally an accurate thrower. And then, of course, we've talked about Cook and Hackenberg. Quarterbacks in college are very difficult for pro scouts to evaluate because there are not that many pro-style quarterbacks playing college football right now. Ironically, for example, Jake Coker and Greg McElroy are two pro-style quarterbacks. Alabama runs a pro-style offense, and they've won with pro-style quarterbacks behind center. Just turns out that they just weren't good enough to translate to the next level. McElroy did get a start or two with the Jets, and now is with SiriusXM, where he does a really good job. And Greg McElroy was an excellent college quarterback. Jay Coker this year was an excellent college quarterback. A.J. McCarron, same story. You notice they win with pro-style quarterbacks. But take, for example, the other side, Deshaun Watson of Clemson. That guy is a great college quarterback, like JT Barrett, but they're going to give scouts fits as to how they translate to the next level. That's not how the NFL plays. It's not how the NFL plays. Hackenberg and Cook, to their credit, both play that kind of game. And neither Hackenberg nor Cook is a Bryce Petty. Gigantic numbers, system guy, and guess what? All the Baylor guys, for all the awesome numbers they rack up, and it's not, again, not Art Briles' job to train them to be NFL quarterbacks. It is Art Briles' job to win games for Baylor. And his system is a big reason why they win games at Baylor. But it does nothing to prepare you for the NFL. You're saying, well, yeah, they throw all the time. That prepares you for the NFL. The NFL game is a pre-snap game. And if you don't do anything pre-snap in college, you have a steep learning curve at the next level. Baylor does zero pre-snap. They're not out there reading coverages. They're not out there changing protections. They're not. They don't even identify the middle linebacker. They don't even identify the Mike in the field. I mean, that's a basic, and they don't do it. He went to the Jets, and he struggled last year trying to learn on the job. Christian Hackenberg is not going to have to learn on the job. Both James Franklin and Bill O'Brien's systems call for you to 52 is the mic, 76 is down, 52 is up. That's just signaling the offensive line as to what the protection is. Right? Flipping the running back over to the side, you need him because you're sensing blitz from one side. He did that all the time. That's why people talk about, well, he had Bill O'Brien's system and James Franklin's system. That's one thing that stayed the same. What stayed the same in both systems was the pre-snap reads that you had to make. That didn't change. And the more I think, the more I look at this and analyze this, I think somebody's going to look at him and they're going to say, it's go time. And remember, too, that you get more protection in development of the player you pick in the first round than you do in the second or third round. Something else to keep in mind. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Well, a week from today, we'll be talking about the first round of the draft and how it played out, then rounds two and three. First time they moved the draft to primetime was 2010, and the NFL has struck gold with it again. I mean, I watch, you watch. Put it in prime time.
And moving it to Chicago, I think that went way up above their expectations since they have it back there for a second straight year.
And I think you can expect it to get to Los Angeles here pretty soon. Moving the draft there, I think, is the next big move. You couldn't move the draft there this year because then you'd be tipping your hand as to what you wanted to do in the market. But I think that's next. Got a lot to talk about today. Phillies back in action tonight. Looking forward to that here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're going to talk about the Steelers and what they might do with the draft with Tony DeFazio. Yesterday I had Brandon Gowden on from BleedingGreenNation.com. We swing it over to Pittsburgh in the next half hour. And we're going to talk about that TV contract with the Big Ten and where ESPN has made two major mistakes in 10 years, misjudging the Big Ten and the market. And ESPN makes very few mistakes.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Let's go to Brewers Outlet. Let's go over there. And what are we going to get? I don't know. I think we have a great choice. They have the best selection of imports, domestics, and microbrews. Did I mention beer? Oh, what a selection of beer they have. Water, soda, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is second to none. Love the dill pickles. Love the barrel pickles. I know I'm coming in for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, and I can guarantee you in no uncertain terms there shall be a stop.
Book it, Dano.
At Brewers Outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, book it. Hey, Corey, I'm coming out, man.
Lock it up. Lock it up. He's coming.
Free parking, lots of room the way the store's laid out, and plenty of help to get the cases to the car. Weather's getting nicer, and more people are going to be dropping by. So you want to stop by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. 101 years. That tells you everything about how good they are. You don't stay in business for 101 years. Unless you're really good and you get a lot of repeat business. Why don't you find out why they're getting repeat business? Why don't you go over there and know what we know? This day in sports history, 1876, eight baseball teams began the inaugural season of the National League. The opening game, Boston beat Philadelphia 6-5. Nothing has changed since. Philly fans, that was a shot. 1914, Babe Ruth made his pitching debut with the Baltimore Orioles. Babe Ruth was an outstanding pitcher early in his career. He was a 20-game winner on a couple of different occasions. And this is how good Ruth was. For a period of 34 years, Ruth held the World Series record for the most career home runs with 15 and the most consecutive innings pitched without giving up a run, 29 and two-thirds. He held them both at the same time for 34 years. 1915, the Yankees wore pinstripes for the first time. 1982, the Braves ended their 13-game winning streak to start the season. It was the longest streak of wins at the beginning of a season in Major League history. 1994, Michael Moore won the heavyweight boxing championship. He then was defeated by George Foreman. Imagine if that didn't happen. We'd be all out there right now with our Michael Moore grills. And in 2010, the NFL draft aired in prime time for the very first time. Now it's round one on Thursday next week, rounds two and three on Friday, and rounds four through seven on Saturday. Wow. That's this day in sports history. Coming up, our play-by-play call of the day, our sports bozo of the day as well. We now bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Hey, Tony, have the Steelers come up with $16 million a year to pay Josh Norman yet?
I don't believe they do, no. I'm not sure. They cost themselves some money by letting Cortez Allen go, but I don't think that's going to be the cornerback swap, Josh Norman in place of Cortez Allen, although that would make some people pretty happy. It would make some teammates in black and gold pretty happy, certainly. But I don't think that's going to happen. Josh Norman's not going to come walking through that door, to paraphrase Coach Rick Pitino.
So when we talk next week at this time, it'll be the day after the Steelers have made their first-round pick. So as we sit here 6 days out from that first-round pick, give me three positional possibilities. You know, I mean, attaching names is really dangerous at this point.
It is.
But three positional possibilities as to how it breaks in front of them.
You know, I think cornerback, safety, and defensive line. I hesitate to say defensive end or tackle. And you know, a lot has been made about, okay, the Steelers released Cortez Allen, so they're probably going to go corner. That would make sense if Cortez Allen played for the Steelers over the past two seasons. You know, they don't need to replace Cortez Allen on the field because he was not on the football field for the past 2 years. So I don't know that that is going to have anything to do with, you know, who they draft. Now, Cortez Allen, the fact that they signed Cortez Allen 2 years ago to that extension is going to have a lot to do with who they draft. That's part of the reason they need a cornerback right now. It's not like, you know, losing Cortez Allen leaves them with a void at that position because he just did not get on the field the past 2 years. But, you know, they've brought in more safeties than they have cornerbacks as far as, you know, draft day visitors. I don't know that that necessarily matters. You know, it certainly matters as far as that their interest obviously is high in both corner and safety. And I do think that's where they'll go. You know, the trades that we've seen the last couple of weeks have changed some of the mock drafts. Ohio State's Eli Apple has been all of a sudden, for some reason, available to the Steelers at 25 in some of these mock drafts when he wasn't before. That would be, I think, you know, a name that Steeler fans should circle if he is available. Again, I think they almost have to go defensive back, whether it's safety or corner, just because I think they're so close, Steve. I think they're so close to being where they want to be as far as making a run at a championship. That's the one position of the 22 starting positions that, to me, is a major impact position that they lack. And if they can do that and they don't have to reach, I think that's where they'll go.
The quarterback situation in this has obviously been interesting with the Eagles moving up to 2, Goff, yep. Wentz. And you and I both know that sometimes there gets to be a run on a position, and sometimes that run on a position, in this case, is the quarterback spot. Does that impact the Steelers when you mentioned Eli Apple might be available to them, because now you've got people in front of them doing things that maybe you didn't expect them to do because of a run?
Yeah, you know, I think no question. I think that's a big impact. And I think what may even be more of an impact is you look at a team like the Titans that now has all these draft picks.
Right.
I think there's going to be movement on draft day, maybe more movement than usual. Again, I think the Steelers are in such need at one of those two positions that I could see them, you know, trading up or down. Down would be a little bit of a different deal, but I could see them trading up to get somebody if there's someone there that they like. Let's say it's an Eli Apple. They've done that twice over the past couple of years, not couple of years, past 15 years or so. Both times it's worked out very, very well. Troy Polamalu was one. Yeah. We don't have to discuss how that one worked out. And Santonio Holmes was the other one. Santonio Holmes' career was what it was, but he helped the Steelers win a Super Bowl. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. Gosh. To me, that makes it a good pick. You know, if they don't do it often, Steve, but if they see someone that they really, really like, it wouldn't shock me to see them do it. And this is the kind of a year that you might make that kind of a move.
And as I've told you, Tony, several times, Eli Apple impressed me. All the times I saw him in person, he impressed me. Long guy, good cover guy. You know, he didn't take away half the field like Deion Sanders did.
Now, that's a great phrase, though, isn't it?
Okay, do you know how wide half the field is?
And you know how confident those quarterbacks are. I don't think there's a whole lot of quarterbacks who are just going to give up half the field, but be that as it may.
I notice you threw out three possibilities round one, but that also, I think, comes into play as how they approach 2 and 3.
Sure.
Is there any offensive needs that you think that they have that maybe in a mid-late round that they may throw a couple positions out there? Because everything's been defense, defense, defense. Anything on offense?
They're going to have to pick a wide receiver, okay. And maybe perhaps more than one. And I also think running back could be a possibility as well if there's someone that intrigues them. I mean, you know, they've got two very good first and second string running backs in Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams is not going to be, you know, around much longer, and he certainly has an injury history. And you have to say that Le'Veon Bell has an injury history too. Not that these are his fault, not that these are out-of-shape type injuries, but that's 2 years, two major injuries. That's certainly not a positive sign. So I think running back's a possibility, but receiver even more so, because they did lose Martavis Bryant, and Marcus Wheaton is going to probably be gone after this year.
Interesting. All right, interesting. The Penguins, wow. The last two games have been, I mean, really except for one period, right, Tony? Except for one period in this series, I mean, they've really dominated 11 of the 12 periods of play, I think.
For the most part, I think the Rangers played better in game one than the result would have indicated. But yeah, I mean, certainly the last two games, the Penguins have been fantastic. There's no question about that. It appears as though they're doing what they want to do and playing their style of game. And I don't recall the last time they truly dictated the style of play. It's been a few years. But I must say this, just 2 years ago, the Penguins were in this exact same situation against this exact same Rangers team. Well, not exact same Rangers team, against this Rangers team, I should say. This is a bit of a different team for the Penguins, probably a bit of a different team for the Rangers. But up 3-1, series can be lost. And Henrik Lundqvist is a kind of a goalie that can, you know, rally his team to win a series. But based on what we've seen so far, I don't think there's a reason to believe this Penguins squad, as it's comprised, you know, is going to allow that to happen. Obviously, it's possible, but this is a team playing with a lot of confidence and playing the style their coach wants them to play and the style that they know they can play. And I don't think those things have been true, like I said, for quite some time for the Penguins.
Malkin had a pair of goals last night, Tony. I think that has to do wonders for him because he actually been in a little bit of a scoring slump, I think, before he got hurt.
And he can get down, you know, just like he can get supremely confident when he's rolling, he can get down. You don't see it with a lack of effort, you know, when that happens, but you almost see, you know, it's almost like he's almost trying too hard and you can tell he's pressing. And he starts to do, you know, to try to do too much sometimes.
Tony, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Sean, are you feeling better about Eli Apple?
I am. Yeah, it's kind of, cornerback is, it's really stacked this coming year for the draft. So, but yeah, I know you're very high on Eli Apple as well.
Yeah, I like Eli Apple. Not a little. I like him a lot. If the Steelers were to draft him, I think it would be a big step forward at corner for them. We'll come back more on the NFL draft, more on TV as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Draft, of course, the first round is going to take place in just 6 days on Thursday night. And then rounds 2 and 3 a week from tonight, then rounds 4 through 7. It's going to be a guy in rounds 4 through 7, I think, that's going to be an intriguing quarterback to pick. That won't start in the NFL right away, but might bear watching. This kid named Kevin Hogan from Stanford. He's probably going to be a 5th or 6th round pick when it's all said and done. But somebody's going to pick him up, and I think he bears watching in this.
Yeah, he and his team had a great win over Notre Dame this past season, and yeah, took over when Andrew Luck left and carved himself a great career with the Cardinal.
Yeah, he did. He has accuracy issues too. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. But in the 5th or 6th round, he could be one of those guys where you take a flyer on him, and you know what? You may get something. I'd take a flyer on him before I take a flyer on Dak Prescott. It's just me. And Hackenberg, I've told you, I've rated him the 3rd best quarterback in the draft. Something that's very underrated, when I was on the show in Denver last night, I talked about this. You know, I talked about the usual pre-snap stuff, what he does, what other people don't do. And they brought up Connor Cook. And I said, Cook, the big knock on him is that he was never elected captain at Michigan State. I said, Hackenberg was elected captain here as a sophomore and a junior. So that tells you something. But I said there's something that people don't bring up about Hackenberg that I think is important. In baseball, I often talk about the strikeout-to-walk ratio that a pitcher has.
I think that's one of the things I look at right away. There are a couple of things I look at right away to give me an idea of where a pitcher is. I look at innings pitched and hits given up. And then I look at the strikeout-to-walk ratio. If I'm looking at a guy that has pitched 100 innings and given up just 89 hits, that's really good. And if I'm looking at a pitcher that has a 3-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio, I think that's really good, too. Well, something that when it comes to a quarterback that I think is very important is the touchdown-to-interception ratio. As a sophomore, let's face it, Christian Hackenberg's touchdown-to-interception ratio was not very good. It was 12 touchdowns and 16 interceptions. And remember, four of those touchdown passes were in the bowl game against Boston College. But this past year, do you realize how dramatically he turned that around? He had 16 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions in the 12 games, in the 13 games. Actually, in 12 games, it was 16-5. He threw the one interception in the bowl game to get the 6. He had 16 touchdown passes and only 6 interceptions. And Penn State was not limiting him to 15 to 18 attempts a game. He did a much better job this year. And he got sacked 10 times in the first game, but only 29 sacks over the final 12 games, including the bowl game. Not awesome, a little bit more than 2 a game, but still, that's better. And he did a better job of saying, it's not there, I'm throwing it away. So instead of being first down and 18, I took a sack, or it's first and 10 for them, they got a pick. He said, look, we'll play another day. It's 2nd and 10. That's why his completion percentage was only around 54% this year, because he was willing to throw the ball away and not force something that would just lead to trouble. That is maturity. That is growing up. That's showing me that he's on the right track, that he turned around his interception, his touchdown pass to interception ratio dramatically turned to 16 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. Now, are there certain things he needs to work on? Of course there will be. That's why, you know, whomever drafts him, he's not going to start right away. He's going to have to get in there and just, you know, almost take a year off, get into the system. You know, we know that his footwork is going to lead to better accuracy. He's got to be a more accurate quarterback and lead guys into the yards after the catch. I think everybody knows that. He's the first one to realize that. But something at Penn State that I thought he did not do a solid enough job at was, look, it's not there. Give it to the checkdown guy. Use the checkdown guy. Often Jack Ham and I would see the checkdown guy open. Just take it, check it down, get 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, move on to the next play. Instead of always thinking, okay, I can fire it in there and, quote, we can get a big play, I think that's one of the next, you know, steps for him. A, being more accurate, leading guys into yards after the catch. Then the ability to use the check down guy just to get something out of a play. All the other stuff, he can make all the throws. He's got the velocity. He's also got the pre-snap reads down. All big check marks that the NFL loves. Television, ESPN, where did they stumble with the Big Ten? Not once, but twice. We'll tell you next hour, including our play-by-play call of the day. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.